Okay, everybody, welcome to another episode of Behind the Patreon of Gaming Gaiden. We are here not talking about games as much, although I'm sure they'll come up, but you know, we're talking about the micro differences we notice. I'm coining the phrase micro differences, like microaggressions. And so basically it's like we all know that, like, the broad strokes, like, you know, Japan, they bow over there and they use chopsticks and they're more group oriented and all that kind of stuff. We all know that. So now we're getting we're going to do even more granular kind of shit and talk about it, things more in detail based on a lot of it based on whenever we were both living there. So,
yeah. So it's funny you should mention shit. Maybe I'll get right into the first difference.
Go. Oh my God.
So, obviously, this is it's a funny subject, you know, shit. Culturally, there's a very different attitude towards poo. Like, you'll find, I remember I had students who had, like, notepads that were just, like, pictures of the intestines with little poo men.
Yeah.
Yeah, things like that. And recently there was the, the top-selling and possibly most effective, according to Tokyo Daigaku, approach to studying kanji is the what do they call that? Like unchi-kun, I think, or something like that. And it's a little turd that is the professor, and all of the example sentences to help guide the students are poop-based sentences. So there's a very different cultural attitude towards poo, which is not what I was originally going to talk about, but it is all adjacent here. I don't know if you felt that when you were there.
To me, this feels like almost the same. I mean, people think it's funny. People, they laugh at how smelly it is. They laugh at, you know, it's just, I don't know. To me, the poop culture in Japan, other than the toilets, was like almost the same to me. You think it's pretty different and how they
like things like let's say like Blue Dragon, right? Which is another what's it called, Toriyama, and so he did Dr. Slump, Arare-chan, how she pokes the poo and all. Like, I can't think of any characters in any American cartoons or anything like that, or comic books through all my years, that ever dealt with poo in any way. Not even like, I have to go to the bathroom, really.
I think that's like because of our, the censors and the standards and practices and all that. But I think culturally, people outside of the censorship still would find those things that Arare-chan is doing is funny. So if it wasn't for the censorship, we might be in the same boat as Japan as far as that's concerned.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think anybody would chuckle at Arare-chan poking a poo with the stick. Why not? She's funny and she's cute. It doesn't matter what she's doing.
Hanky the Christmas poo as well on South Park.
True, but that is for 10 p.m. and after, right? The adult crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's funny because this all connects to the thing I was actually going to say initially was, while Japan is often celebrated for having more advanced toilet technology, that's generally in the private home. In the public toilets, I found that it was often a pretty not necessarily well-maintained squat toilet with no toilet paper.
I've never seen a squat toilet before I went to Japan, man. Like, I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't want to squat. I can't. It's like, can the average Japanese person just squat like that and take a shit like no problem? But they do the Asian squat, as they call it these days.
Yeah, and like, that's the thing, right? Like, this is supposed to be the natural way for us to do it, but we've been using these throne toilets for so long that we seem to have lost this ability. We just lose the ability to squat properly. And like, you see, there's people buying like the squatty potty or potty squatty. I can't remember what it's called, but like, basically they're things that attempt to replicate the natural position of squatting to poo, because that's what the human body really wants to do.
Right. Yeah, I could see that. But most people in their homes don't have the squat toilet.
No, not at all. Like, that's what I'm saying. People have, like, these fantastic bidets with warmed seats, right? And a little nice spray. You could choose the level of the jet stream and all that. But when you go out, say, oh, man, I'm changing trains. I got to go to the train station bathroom. There's a squat toilet. That stinks. And you'll find there's no toilet paper. And so you're glad that you took that packet of tissues from the guy advertising Docomo or whatever down at the entrance.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I always wondered, like, why are they giving out napkins? I feel like that was a very early or late 2000s thing. I don't know if they do that anymore, especially since COVID.
Well, that's, yeah. So big, asterisk here. The last time I lived in Japan was 2007. I did, and my last visit was 2013. So
okay,
some of these things,
2019.
Like, okay, yeah,
just before the pandemic, man. November 2019.
Did you have to use any bathrooms and train stations or anything?
I always avoid it, man. I see why it probably has health benefits, and you know they probably do that in the train because it might be a health thing too. Like they don't want to put their butt on anything. So when you kind of avoid the whole deal if you just squat, right?
I'll say, like, this is a difference. It's not a bad one. When I was there, it took a while, but I got accustomed to it. And after I was able to use the squat toilets, I was like, yeah, it's much better. Now I don't have to worry about touching anything.
Yeah. I think that's probably why it's in a public sphere more than at the home, for sure. Because I think it's just a health thing. Like, if you can do it, if the average person in that country can squat, mm-hmm. then why not? I think it's just a practicality thing. Some people might think it's like going back to the Stone Age or something if they're coming from America or whatever, or Europe. But I don't know. I think I could see why they do that, you know?
Yeah. It was the other thing that was really surprising to me, though, was that there was usually no toilet paper, nothing to dry my hands. There wasn't even necessarily soap in most of those bathrooms. So
you gotta bring your own, man.
That was always like, oh, man. And I had to, this is the before the days when hand sanitizer was everywhere.
Right. Yeah, you didn't think about it as much. Man, we were so dirty back then when you think about it.
Way back when, in 2019.
It feels like forever ago. But then at the same time, 2007, 8, 9, when I was living there, feels like it was just 3 years ago or something. It doesn't feel like it's so long ago.
Yeah. Because it's almost like this time period has been sort of a blip, you know? It's like this weird temporary thing, but it's pretty long.
Yeah. Oh, you mean COVID in general, or?
Yeah, the whole, like, it's still ongoing, you know? And it feels almost like we've put so many things on pause, but like, so it feels like things aren't progressing, but they are. And
things
it's
are still
just been
going,
very
man.
Strange. It's been rough.
Things are still going. Yeah. Definitely try to live your life as much as you can, even through all this crap.
Nah.
All right. So mine, I got a couple food ones. And since they're kind of like quickies, I'm going to kind of lump a few of these together. Actually, I'm going to lump all my food ones together, maybe. So I found, and again, this is anecdotal evidence. This is not science. This is just an opinion that I've made from talking to Japanese people over the years. It might not be correct, but we're going to talk about it here. I'm just got to disclaim this shit. Even
we should put together a soundboard with our standard disclaimers.
Yeah. So Nobody get out, been out of shape. This is just opinion. This is not science. And this is, we're talking.
Two guys talking out their asses.
Talking about their asses. Two white guys talking about another culture. What's that sound like? Anyway, well, you're half white. At any rate.
You could be white and Latino. It's not a,
oh yeah,
it's not about the color.
That's true. Okay. So I found that Japanese people, in general, seemingly not real big fan of steak fries. or oatmeal. This is a big one. That's oatmeal is the natto of Japanese people. Like
that's really interesting. I never had occasion for either of those things. I don't personally eat beef.
So you don't eat beef? I did not know.
No, I haven't eaten it since I was about 15.
Okay.
Yeah. So there wasn't really much in the way of steak or steak fries in my experience there, because I wasn't going to go someplace for that.
Okay. And then oatmeal. I didn't discover this in Japan. I've discovered this while living in LA and talking to Japanese people. But yeah. Like, I feel like as soon as they ask, can you eat natto, you can say, can you eat oatmeal? Like, it's seemingly about that level. Like, they've really...
I had no idea. That's interesting.
They do not like it, dude. At least from what I've talked to several people about this, and they can't stand it. and then the last one, and this is another big one, man, but Mexican food, dude. Japanese people do not like Mexican food, man, in general.
Yeah, I guess I love Mexican food, so I would have eaten it more, I guess, if it had been more widely available. Maybe there's something to that. Didn't, while I was there, I lived there for 3 years and I don't remember going to a Mexican restaurant.
So they had in Kichijoji a Spanish restaurant with a buffet, and it was Mexican-ish, but it was Spanish.
Well, they talked a lot about paella. I remember them talking about paella, which is not, that's not Mexican. Yeah.
By the way, I had never even heard of paella until I moved to Japan. That's just not a food. That's not a food discussed in Atlanta, Georgia that much. But yeah, that's a big one. I think it's like the kind of rice used in a Mexican cuisine is just not to their liking. So any kind of rice, like the Mexican rice, you know, they're pretty particular about the rice. They want it the Japanese style. So there's that. On top of that, Japanese cuisine itself, other than wasabi and God, a little bit here and there, like it's not a spicy cuisine at all.
No, it's not. Definitely not.
And on that, there's that mustard for tonkatsu they use sometimes, right? Mm-hmm. So like that's about it.
Yeah, so, in general, it's not spicy.
Not spicy. So, I think that's it. And like this is something that I've kind of noticed dealing, like talking with Japanese people in LA for, you know, going on 13 years now. This is a conversation that comes up. And yeah, when we lived in Japan, again, I left Japan in 2009. And God, I don't remember seeing any kind of Mexican restaurants there ever. They started opening a Taco Bell, which was popular for like probably when it first opened in Shibuya or something. But that's not Mexican, really. It's Tex-Mex at best. I feel like these are some of the things like people like, I don't know if anybody's really noticed this stuff. It's just the way they grow up with their food culture. Seemingly it's like an American with natto, some of it, you know, like they're just not into it. But you know what? I have talked with some Japanese people that have really liked fish tacos. It involves fish. So fish palatable. Cause that's what they,
I mean, tacos aren't really rice based. You could put a little rice in there, but it's not necessarily in there.
Yeah, so yeah, I feel like I've seen them eat it, but I've never seen them like, even like a lot of Japanese people living in LA, they're never like, hey, let's go to the taco truck. Never, you know.
Yeah.
So that's just, you know, it's fine. It's just how it is. But I just like noticing the difference. That's all.
Yeah. No, I mean, if you're living in LA, I imagine it's easier to see like, oh, here is the clear presence of Mexican food readily available.
Oh, yeah.
And here are many Japanese people. But like, yeah, I would say that I've never really had occasion to say one way or the other, but having spent 3 years in Japan and now kind of realizing I don't think I ever went to a Mexican restaurant at 3 years of living in Japan is because I didn't really have any readily available.
They weren't there, man. They had taco rice or something.
Yeah.
Or it was like a fusion of something.
If I saw Mexican taco rice, I would have thought that meant octopus.
Oh yeah. Or taco suit rice or something like that.
I don't know.
There was some restaurant in Kichijoji that was like sort of like a fusion, almost, but it wasn't really. It wasn't Mexican though. They were almost getting there, but not quite. So, the last one, the last food one I have is, they say that, speaking of fish, they say that Japanese people, like in Japan, they eat a lot of fish. But when I moved there, I was expecting it to be fish almost every fucking meal, but it's really not. It's
no.
They eat fish like a little more than Americans, depending on where you live. I mean, probably some people never eat it, but like I grew up in Alabama when I was a kid and we had catfish from the lake. So eating fish was not uncommon. Fried fish, but still fish. And like, so from my point of view, yes, they do eat it more, but not all the time, all the time. They have all kinds of beef bowls. They got the fucking lots of egg rice dishes, and they've got, chicken dishes galore, oyakodon and all kinds of shit like that. Yeah. And so it's not for every meal. It's definitely less than that. Yeah.
It's funny. I was really happy when I was there last on the trip because the hotel had breakfast and they had like a standard Japanese breakfast with a little piece of salmon or whatever.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I loved that. I love to start the day with that. I mean, I love to eat fish any and all times. I grew up on the East Coast. I grew up on an island, So for me, it's like, seafood all the time. Like that's the norm, isn't it?
Whenever
I can get it. And even there, living there as a kid, like I knew it was more expensive, but it was totally worth it. It was always worth it to me.
Right. Yeah, I like seafood as well. Back to you, Mike.
Yeah, so another difference, and this is something that I think you could even live in Japan and not really notice this, is that while, following World War II, a lot of Japan's rebuilding was, in the image of America, right? They were saying like, here are going to be your standards. Here's how you're going to approach this. And that's why most, people coming from America on these like language programs, like JET and all that, and ALT programs, could just be like, yeah, I'm going to plug my stuff right in. It's cool. Whereas the Europeans were like, I got this giant plug. What do I do?
Oh yeah.
The thing is though, that they run at a different, voltage or frequency, and most people will not find this out unless they're in a very particular circumstance, which is like, say you have your alarm clock. If you've brought an alarm clock from America, which say runs at 120 volts, I think it is.
Yeah.
And you plug it in Japan, you set your time, you say, cool, I got to get up at 7 a.m. No problem. First day you'll probably get up and it'll be fine. You'll make your time. Over the course of a week or so, you'll start to lose more time because the 100 volts that they have is going to do the cycles differently or whatever. And you're going to start losing time on that. And what you think is 7 o'clock is actually like 7:15 or something. It gets completely out of sync. And I wish I could tell you, I know exactly how the math works here. I don't know which way I'm going with it, but it's just those little things. And so it's like you don't need an adapter, but there are certain things you just, buy that domestically. Don't use that.
I got an adapter for my gaming systems, and you think, since it's only like, I think it's 120 to 110. It's only 10-volt difference. And so to me, it sounds like, it'd be a small adapter. But the one I got is this huge box thing. It's like you couldn't travel with it. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. And it's funny because, it won't, like, you can plug in your American systems and play video games there. And it's like not really a discernible difference in any way.
Yeah.
But it is a difference. And it does matter with certain things when it comes to refresh rates, I guess, clock speeds and clock cycles and timing.
These days, no one's going to have an alarm clock, though. it's all on your phone or something.
Yeah, true. Back then it was different,
Can you believe we lived in Japan before smartphones? I was in Japan during the rise of smartphones in 2008.
Dude, I was there in 2001 and there was like no internet.
Right.
Oh, it existed, but nobody had it.
Nobody had it. Oh, dude. Sometimes whenever you deal with like the Japanese DS and 3DS, it's like, what is all this shit? Like the access point and this other shit. It's like so complicated. Like you do the American one and it's like network name and password. That's it. I don't know why it's so complicated with the Japanese stuff.
There was a lot of stuff to, you know, because it was like, oh, people are going to come into the stores and they're going to use these little kiosk things or whatever, you know? It was just a different setup. But they did have a really good internet setup on like the mobile phones of that era, which are, you know, prototypical smartphones of a sort, the Docomo iMode.
That was the first, that was the first time I was ever really noticing like people just staring at their phones, even like being together at a coffee shop. Because before that, everybody forgets how weird this was at first, but before that, people like they might have been bored with each other, but they weren't like looking at a book the whole time, you know, like they were looking sort of at each other. but then the fucking they were looking at iMode or whatever, which Japan was way ahead of the curve here because you have a whole internet kind of made up just for the phone, which was unheard of in outside of Japan, probably.
Yeah, it was really impressive. I loved those phones too. I had a nice little Sony flip phone, and it had like, it was, I can't remember the model number, but it was like an all Parappa theme.
Oh, nice!
So it was a ringer from the Parappa tunes and stuff, and I could make it say like, "I gotta believe." It was, you know, going from having no phone at all in America, you know, to then having that, I was like, oh my God, I'm living in the future here.
Going to and Japan it's got Parappa. Time, going to Japan at that time, the phone game was way different. I mean, we had those dumb Nokias for a while, and then I went to Japan, and it was like even my Docomo wasn't great, but it was miles ahead. They were so ahead with phones, but then Apple comes out with the fucking iPhone and just changes the game.
Yeah, it changes the game. That's it. It's over.
it's over, dude. Like,
and it seemed like it took Japan a while to come around on the iPhone, but seems to have happened. That's that.
They did in a big way, such a big way, in fact, that I've heard that Android is the number one phone in every single country except for Japan and America.
Wow.
Yeah, we are the only two countries where iPhone's more popular.
So. Man, I tell you, when they first started announcing this smartphone stuff, and I looked at it, and I was like, all right, we got an Android thing here, Google or whatever, okay, they're doing an OS, and Apple. And I was like, oh, well, the Android OS is like open source, right? So that's going to be better, no question. And then I got hands-on, and I was like, I was like, all right, I'll go with the Apple one.
I remember being getting my first SoftBank iPhone. I didn't even know quite what it was. I just knew I wanted it because I didn't really know what an iPhone was, a smartphone. And I remember like going from SoftBank, getting the phone, and then going to Starbucks. And probably, God, we're talking. I got my iPhone at that. What was that place that was near Kamifukuoka? That was like the cool spot, Kawagoe.
Oh yeah, I liked Kawagoe. That was nice.
I got my phone in Kawagoe, and then I went to Starbucks in Kawagoe, and then I remember being in line, and it was like, I'm not bored in line. Like I can just do bullshit on my phone in line. Because remember, God, this is old man corner at this point, but waiting in line was terrible before, and now it's a lot more bearable with phones.
I used to do ridiculous things like think.
I know, you used to think and actually notice other people. Is it back to me?
I think so. Yeah, okay. Let's talk about voltage there.
Okay. All right, I got a good one. Something I noticed while in Japan. I'm not a musician, but I've always been a fan of music. My mom has a big record collection. So music has always been a big part of my life and this and that. I was never a casual listener. But my dad is actually, but anyway, so, I noticed in Japan, people will ask you what kind of music you like and you can just say rock. You don't have to specify any bands. You don't have to specify any subgenre of rock. You just say rock, and they're like, "Oh, okay, cool." Like that, I was like, "Okay, I guess we'll end the conversation there." Like, if you have that conversation in America, people will generally be like,
"Yeah,
what bands? Like,
what does that mean?
Do you mean metal? Nickelback? Do you like Beatles? You like Nickelback? What?" I'm trying to gauge here. Another thing too, this is something that my wife Yuka brought up to me. Americans really like to define themselves and make it their music their whole personality. And you always kind of know what music you can kind of tell what music an American likes just by looking at them. But in Japan,
well, generally in the younger set, usually
in Japan, it could be pretty stark different sometimes. Like, well, a lot of times if they're an adult, they're wearing a business suit anyway, but even in casual clothes, it's the clothes, it can, especially with hip hop, maybe metal or something. I did see metal dudes in Japan too, and hip hop heads, but like, it's still a lot less so. People, it's probably because of the indirectness of the culture. People don't want to stand out. At least some of them don't.
Yeah, except for those who do want to stand out, and then they go whole hog.
They go overboard with it maybe sometimes, but it's a lot less so than in America. The whole like your music is your personality kind of thing.
Well, I want to add to that. I want to build on this because the music was something that really, really impressed me when I was there. Now, I grew up with zero music education, really. There was, I think in fourth grade, they tried to have us like play the recorder and we had to give a dollar.
Oh, I had no music education either, man.
So like, I don't know. It had nothing to do with any sort of formal education. So when I saw the work that these kids were doing when I was in the junior high, I was just like, this is insane. The level of quality that they're putting out and all these different types of music classes is just blowing me away. And then I went to like the concerts and stuff. And I was like, I don't get it. This is like a professional crew right here. And they're all like 13.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. I mean,
I really was impressed. I was like, this is phenomenal.
This is getting into almost fringe theory, but I honestly feel like because of the group mentality in Japan, they've brought up the middle so much. In all aspects of life, whereas America, our middle is so low, but then we have our highs and our lows also are just ridiculous.
Yeah,
to kind of make up for it.
Yeah, like it's something I've thought
Michael
about.
Michael Jackson and LeBron here, but you know, but then our middle fucking sucks. Whereas in Japan, I feel like your average Japanese person can probably like knows music and can even do sports better than your average American. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I could see it. I've wondered at times, like, it's that idea, right, of like only the strongest survive, which is usually nonsense for us as humans because like we can't survive pretty much anything. But
yeah, that's right.
Is that why our musicians are so strong? Because like nobody ever helps them in anything. My God, being an artist in America is awful.
I mean, it's a combination of a lot of things, I think, but
you know,
I mean, if you're talking about music in the '70s and talking about music now is also a different story, but I mean, there's something to be said about suffering. Sadly, suffering creates great art. So a lot of Americans suffer, especially Black Americans. So that's why we get all the great art, man.
I think a little love and support, financial support can also help create some great art. Right, like in, like the Swedes who have the healthcare taking care of them, and they're producing some of the best pop music that anybody has ever heard all around the world.
They're taking care of a good job. Yeah, they got ABBA.
But like it's I think if you look into it, I did not research this. This is all off the cuff, but you'll find that there's a lot of Swedish songwriters working on writing songs for world famous musicians.
Oh yeah. They own Spotify too, man. Spotify Swedish. Sweden's definitely like the most culturally dominant out of the Scandinavian countries. The Denmark and Norway really take a back seat, and Finland as well.
Yeah. So yeah, I think let's see,
another difference. I have two more.
I did forget to mention something before. This I should have jumped in with this with the food, because I was curious to hear all the different things you say. But if you think, like, let's say I know this restaurant. I know what Denny's is. I know what McDonald's is. I'm not going to eat that. I'm going to go over to this cool ramen place. That's great. You know, enjoy the quality ramen that you get. But you'd be surprised at just how good the food at Denny's in Japan is, how good the food at McDonald's in Japan is. I used to love when they did the Hyakuen filet of fish days. That's like a dollar for a filet of fish. I love filet of fish. I could eat that sandwich for days. So whenever they did that, I was like, yo, let's head over to, at that time we were living near, I think it was Sati, had the McDonald's in the ground level. And yeah, I'd run right over and be like, bam, let me get 3 filet of fish sandwiches. Let's do this.
Wow. Oh, so I never did the 100 yen filet of fish thing.
Oh man. The McDonald's
is clearly better though.
Something about everything they did with that stuff was just better. And I don't know why. Is it because culturally they have a higher standard for food? Different regard for food, you know?
Yes.
It really shows. It just comes through in those things.
The Coke is better because it's real sugar, you know, all that kind of shit. Like in LA, it's a big deal to get a Mexican Coke, and it's like literally $2 more because it has real sugar in it.
Yeah.
Because Mexico also was smarter than us. The quality is way better, man.
So that's the thing, right? Like you think, this is not a difference. I know what this is. This is a known quantity. But then you try it and you're like, nope. I did not expect this. This is so much better. I don't know why.
If you're listening to this and you haven't been in Japan yet, if you do go, if you're there for a week, go to McDonald's once. Just do it once. Don't go all the time.
Yeah.
Go once, get a teriyaki McBurger. Okay.
More importantly, don't rule it out is the thing, because you'll think you know what it is, but you don't.
Yeah.
You're going to have to try it.
Mainly get ramen, tonkatsu, sushi, mainly get Japanese stuff, but you know, pepper in a little bit of that, and then also go to Yoshinoya. If you're from California, it's not the same Yoshinoya, man. Japanese Yoshinoya is way better.
I went to a Yoshinoya in Times Square once and I was like, yo, that's not fair. You guys tricked me with this name.
It's awful in America, man. Yeah. I loved Yoshinoya. That was one of the, and it's kind of nostalgic too, because it was one of the first restaurants I ever went to in Japan. Mm-hmm. The Gyu Yakiniku Teishoku, I'll never forget, like the beef bowl meal set or whatever it is. Love it, man. I loved it. And I'm going to have it again next time I go to Japan. So
I'll give props to Hawaii though, because when I went there, I hit up a Koko Ichiban, Koko Ichibanya, and the curry was good. So.
Okay, that's good. Dude, I had never had curry. I'd never heard of paella. I had never had, God, well, it's definitely like no okonomiyaki or anything. Like there's so much food I discovered while in Japan for the first time. Korean food, too. I never heard of kimchi before, man. I never heard of it. There was no, especially, it's amazing how much the times have changed, because in the past 13 years, when I moved to L.A., there is like a whole Indian section of Atlanta. There's all kinds of Korean restaurants, but I did not grow up going to that. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. They had Japanese. They had some Thai. Thai was the most exotic it got, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, no Vietnamese, nothing like that. So.
Yeah. No, I remember. My first Indian curry was in Gunma in Japan.
Oh,
and it was
nice.
Because I had a bunch of British ALTs in the area be like, yo, you got to try this place out. The curry's great. So I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I'm along for the ride. Let's give it a shot. And I ended up loving it.
Oh, yeah. Japanese curry is so good, too, because it's very, It's not spicy for one. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's
well, really that was light. An Indian curry, but yeah, I love Japanese curry.
It's real light on the system. I've heard Indian curry or Japanese curry is kind of viewed almost like we view spaghetti here in America. Like adults can eat it, and there's definitely gourmet versions, but mm-hmm. a lot of times it's kind of like almost like a kid's food.
Yeah. I remember I had one friend who was an ALT. She was Korean-born Canadian, and she was like, I don't know why you want to go out and eat curry. That's what my mom makes when there's nothing else in the house.
That's funny. Okay, my next one is, so we might have even talked about this when we were living in Japan, Mike, but I've talked about this a lot at my Japanese groups, and I'll bring it up here too because it might be new to the listener. But so in America, with Disney movies in particular, there's almost like this unwritten rule when you're a kid. When you're adult, doesn't matter because you're fucking adults with Disney shit. It's a different story. But... like you can't like buy the goods of a movie unless you've actually seen the fucking movie, you know. It's like an unwritten rule, but they don't have that rule in Japan. Like you can, they seemingly totally, almost completely separate the goods from the movie. Like the movies almost take a backseat really to. All the fucking like plushed animals and stickers or whatever the fuck it is. They used to have the fucking phone deals back in the day. I forget what they're called, the keychain thing. And so, that's something I've always noticed. And at first it kind of annoyed me, but then I was like, why are we so strict about this bullshit? Like, who cares? It's a fucking Disney movie. Who gives a shit?
Everybody's like, oh, you're a poser. What do you got? You got Snoopy on your pencil case, but you've never read Peanuts?
we're sticklers about this. Come on, man.
Yeah, so. It's pretty silly. But yeah, they definitely, there's no such thing as a poser or selling out or anything like that. It's just like, yo, this is cute. I like it. Here it is. Right. I got it.
It does. Yeah, it just has to be cute. And like, some interesting things happen too, like the little green men from Toy Story.
Oh my God, they were so popular.
Very popular in Japan, and you don't even have to see Toy Story. No one gives a shit.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, that's one of those things that like kind of made me rethink my position in life. why do we care?
You know? Right, it's true, definitely. Like I grew up, you know, at a certain age, you know, with a lot of rap music and the idea of like selling out, you know, which was not limited to rap, you know, of course.
Oh, it's huge in the punk scene.
Of course. And kidding me? Used to buy, what was that? Fugazi? I can't remember what their label was that like they made sure that the record stores could only charge like $10 for it and stuff. Like,
it sounds like a Fugazi thing.
Yeah. But yeah, then I went to Japan and it was like, oh my God, selling out is like the goal. And then it became the goal in America. So welcome back to America.
Yes,
we no longer believe any of those things. No. The almighty dollar.
Well, sometimes I feel like the whole like people worried about like a band selling out. That's just something I would not worry about now. I mean, if their music sucks, then it sucks. But, you know, like a band making more money, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
You know,
now it's different. Now it's like, they should be paid more. You know, I will fight for their rights. Give them healthcare. Damn it.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
You know,
you have any more, Mike?
It's a different world. Nah, you know, not much else. I had some other, stories to tell, but I might save those for another. They're not necessarily based on differences.
Okay. All right. Yeah. We'll save it for another one. I think actually I've gone through mine as well. So
Let me double check.
Yeah. Checking.
All good.
Okay. Cool, man. Well, thank you guys for joining us behind the paywall, man. You know, if I wasn't making this is something that I was subscribed to. Shit. And so we're glad you're here, and tell all your friends, about us, and, try to get more people behind the paywall, and the content's coming.
Yeah. Enjoy the jibber jabber. I know. Okay. We do.
Yeah. All right. We'll see you later.
Peace.